Well, it is good to see you here this morning on this potentially rainy and nasty Sunday morning. We prayed this morning in our time with our deacons and our staff that the Lord would be gracious and hold off the weather so that we could gather together as family. We are glad you are here. I would ask all of you to go ahead and take your bulletin. Hopefully you grabbed one on the way in. There's a little tear off on the side. If you would, just go ahead and rip that off. And if you're a first-time guest or maybe you've not been in a while, we'd love to get some information. Paul and Donna follow up with those of you who say, hey, I'm interested in knowing more about your church. So if you would do that, we will make sure we contact you. We're going to have some baptisms again in a few weeks, and so maybe some of you say, hey, you know what, I'm interested in being baptized. I've seen some baptisms that have happened over the last few weeks, and I want to be a part of that next time. You can write that down as well, and we will follow up with you accordingly also. So we'll take those slips up later in the service, so you have a little bit of time for that, but just give you a little heads up for that. All right, well, we are going to walk through Matthew chapter 5, and we said last week we were going to begin this series on the tough sayings of Jesus. And so you may remember that we looked at Jesus' statement that he didn't come to abolish the law, he came to fulfill it. Now, I'm just going to tell you this before we get going. What we're going to hear over the next few weeks is really hard, if we're honest. Because there's a sense where Christians like to live in a sense of good Christian morality, but Jesus wants to go deeper in us and in our hearts and really wants to root out issues that linger there. I mean, if you have a Bible that has little titles for paragraphs, I mean, we're going to talk about divorce and lust and retaliation, and I mean, those are some big issues. And so we're going to be dealing with those coming up. So I've been praying for you, been praying for me that we would not just listen and go and eat donuts and move on, but that we really would allow the Lord to speak to us and show us things that we need to hear and change and be convicted of from His Word. And so we'll see that here this morning as well. So we'll remind ourselves just very quickly, and then we'll read and we'll pray. What Jesus is going to be doing over the next few weeks is confronting the legalistic teaching of the Pharisees and other religious leaders. The law's not bad. It's this teaching and application that has been communicated to others that makes people feel like they're okay, and they've never really dealt with the real intent of what Jesus meant. So we're going to see again and again, you've heard it said, but I say to you. And what Jesus is saying, what I say to you, is of utmost importance to us. So with that said, let's pray, and then we'll turn our attention to Matthew 5. Father, I'm asking that we would be good listeners. Not just that we would hear the Word and we'd move on, but Lord, we truly would deal with the Word. That you would deal with us. You would deal with our hearts. You would bring conviction and repentance in areas of our lives where this is needed. You would bring freedom and release in maybe some other areas where this is needed. But Lord, I know that you love us and that you have forgiven us and you have paid our debt. But you are also at work in us for purity and for holiness and for sanctification. So we pray, O Lord, that even today your word would do that in the lives of believers. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So look with me, if you will, at Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read verses 21 down through 26. Okay, Matthew chapter 5, 21 through 26. If you don't have a Bible, it'll be on the screen up here for you. It says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're going to with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. All right, you can hear from those words some pretty serious warnings for us. Go back and look at the context of what Jesus is saying here. He starts off by saying, you have heard. Now, just a reminder that for many in those days, they didn't necessarily read very well. They weren't always educated. And so a lot of what they knew spiritually, religiously, is what they were hearing from the Pharisees, hearing being taught in synagogues, right? Maybe somewhat like Catholics. Many years ago, when you would go to a Catholic service and it would be in Latin, and you didn't know Latin, and you didn't really understand, or you couldn't read the Bible because it was in Latin until it was translated into the common language of the people, right? You relied on what you were told, and even now in many churches, you have people who say, well, I don't really read the Bible, it's just what I've heard, right? And it's so dangerous. Let me just tell you, maybe even some of you here today, you're not really in the Bible, you don't really read the Word of God very much, and your biblical knowledge is based entirely on either what I'm communicating or what Brad Sunday School or somebody you hear on the radio or something you see on TV. Look, I'm telling you, it's my prayer, it's my heart's desire to teach the Bible as faithfully and as biblically as I can, and I want every week in this church when we stand before you to teach and to preach the whole counsel of God faithfully. But y'all, you need to test and see what we say if it lines up with Scripture. Always. Don't just say, well, Travis said, or don't just say, well, Brad said, or somebody in my Sunday school class said this. No, look and say, is this what is consistent with Scripture? Because that is how churches, denominations, people get away from the Scripture, because they don't test what is being taught according to Scripture. That's why the Bereans were such great people, right? They went and they examined what they had heard, if it lined up with what they understood of Scripture. And for many in that day, they just took what they had heard as truth. And notice what Jesus says. He says, you've heard that it was said of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be liable of judgment. That is a biblical command, isn't it? One of the Ten Commandments, you shall not murder. If you read it carefully, it's not just don't kill, because many times in the Old Testament, God tells them to kill the people and the communities and where they're going. No, there's a deeper issue at hand, and we're going to see that. It's the issue of the heart. But it is a biblical command. Do not murder. You see it in Exodus chapter 20 and in Numbers 35. It says this, that if anybody kills another person, that person should be put to death. Listen, Numbers 35, 30. If anyone kills a person, the murderer shall be put to death on the evidence of witnesses, but no person shall be put to death on the testimony of one witness. Moreover, you shall not accept ransom for the life of a murderer who is guilty of death. You shall put him to death. Now, sometimes Christians, they struggle whether or not we should be in support of the death penalty and other things like this, right? And you got to work through that, but there are biblical admonitions and warnings and instructions to those who kill should be put to death. Right? And the reason is because early on in Genesis, we're told that man, every person, every man, woman, boy, child, girl, all of us are made in the image of God. In Genesis chapter 9, it says this, and for your lifeblood, I will require a reckoning. From every beast, I require a reckoning for man. From fellow man, I shall require a reckoning for the life of man. Listen, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image. So the big moral principle that was being taught was don't murder. All right? And they knew if I murder, it is possible that I could be put to death because this person is made in the image of God, and when you kill somebody, your blood is required. So the Pharisees were teaching, in essence, the morality of the law, but as we're going to see, they really weren't dealing with the heart issue that the law was striving to communicate. And so I think in their minds, as long as they didn't physically kill somebody, they were okay. And most of us in this room, we probably feel the same way. I've never killed anybody. I'm okay. All right? But notice how Jesus addressed this. He says, but I say to you, remember, just from last week, he's not going against what the Old Testament says. He's trying to bring greater and deeper, fuller understanding and application of the text. And he's showing that he's different. He's different than the religious leaders of his day. He has authority and he has wisdom that come directly from God himself. He says, but I say to you, now look at what he says. Everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. It's not just enough that you're keeping the law and you're not physically killing somebody. What Jesus is saying is, if there's this anger in your heart towards another person, it's as if you are killing them already. And we see that many times in Scripture, right? I mean, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the what? The heart. So we feel like as long as I can fool people and I can do things and I'm outwardly good, I'm okay. But at the end of the day, the Lord is saying, but yeah, but what I'm looking at is I'm looking at what's going on inside of you. And every one of these things we're going to deal with, there's this element of as long as you're doing it outwardly, you're okay. And Jesus is going to say, no, I want to go deeper. What's your heart communicating? What's your heart's attitude? How are you thinking and acting internally on this issue? We have this conversation in our house often with our boys. Mark chapter 7 says this, for from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within, and they defile the person. So you see them in outward acts, but the issue is it's an issue of the heart. And so we can't just try to legislate, act this way, don't do these things. What we really need to do is what Jesus is saying is you got to address the issue of your heart. Why does my heart feel this way? And we see that even in our own court system, right? If you kill somebody, there's different levels or categories of that murder. First degree murder, second degree murder. What is it? Sometimes it's called premeditated murder. Right? We had a situation in our house this week of premeditated violence. One of my boys did something on Sunday, screamed, an emotional outburst, and it bothered one of my other boys. And then the next day, and I'm telling you, we've already had this conversation, but I want you to see this is what happens. The next day, one of them threw a ball point blank at the other one and hurt him. And I asked him, I said, why'd you do that? And he said, because he screamed yesterday. We laugh, maybe. But it wasn't funny. I said, that was premeditated. And you harbored that in your heart, and you looked for the right moment to act. And we dealt with that. But we all, in many ways, do that. We're not guarded. And that's what the law is trying to find out, and that's what Jesus is driving out. Many times, murder occurs because someone is angry, they're bitter towards somebody else, and then that anger kind of turns to malice and rage, and it eventually drives them to do the act of killing. But it starts from internally. I mean, think about the very first murder in the Bible. With Cain and Abel. This internal anger and strife and jealousy about his brother and the offering and how God had received his brother and not him. And so that anger in his heart turned to what? A physical act. But really, he probably killed his brother in his heart before he killed his brother physically. Right? I think that's what Jesus is driving at. And so he says, look, if you're angry in your heart, if you're angry with your brother, you're liable to judgment. And then he goes on and he kind of gives this like litany of like, whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. And I think there's just this progression that's going on here, meaning, you know, we start with anger in our heart, and then that anger kind of, if it is allowed to sit, it kind of boils over and it turns to like maybe gossip or ill talk, right? Any of y'all ever been guilty of that? You're mad at somebody, so what do you start doing? You start talking about them and you feel okay and you feel justified because you're what? You're mad at them. And then the more you talk bad about them and you kind of feel good about what you're saying about them, the more your heart just kind of becomes callous towards that, and it kind of creates this hatred towards them. Unchecked heart that just develops these actions. And Jesus is saying this is what happens with this unchecked anger. And notice who he says this is against. But I say to you, verse 22, I say to you, everyone who's angry with his brother. So that's always hard to determine exactly what that means. Does that mean his biological brother? Does that mean brother like friend, kindred? Right? And there's lots of opinions and stuff out there. It's a brother by blood, it's a fellow believer, it's a fellow Jew, it's your countryman, it's your neighbor. I think you kind of get in semantics, because remember later on he's going to say, well, who's my neighbor? Who's my brother? Well, the people that God has in your life. That's who I would say these are the ones he's talking about. I don't think Jesus is saying it's okay for you to be angry at somebody who's not your biological brother, but it's not okay to be angry at your biological brother. Or it's okay to be angry at a coworker, but not okay to be angry at another believer. No, I mean, I think as believers, we should strive to treat people the way that God would want us to treat them and not try to categorize them as I can treat people differently. And so what Jesus, I think, is driving at here is, look, and he gets serious. He says this progression of anger, to insults, to then begin really calling them a fool, which in biblical terms just means that they don't even believe in God, right? Ultimately, it says you'll be liable to the hell of fire. I mean, he's saying that this is serious stuff. I mean, you can't just say, well, I'm just angry at them and I'm going to let it go on and on. So it's not enough just to say, well, I've never killed anybody. The spiritual law of the text is this. If you're angry in your heart at another, and I would say, for our context, especially another believer, but really for anybody, if you're angry at them, you better check yourself. So here's a question I think you have to ask yourself. Is it ever okay to be angry at somebody then? If you've ever been married, it probably has happened. If you have kids, if you have a job, if you have elder, aging parents, right? I mean, we all in life have moments of anger. Now look, I think that there is a situation where we could be angry in the moment, and you know, Jesus says, like, don't let the anger, you know, don't let the light go down on your anger, like, deal with that immediately. I think where I'm going here is this. Maybe in that moment there's a, because we're in the flesh, because we're fallen, maybe there is anger that develops in your heart, but we have to nip it right then. I think that's why Jesus is saying, don't let the sun go down. Meaning, if you are angry at your spouse or your children or your mom or your dad or your coworker or whatever, we need to deal with that immediately, because if we don't deal with that anger, that's what happens. It starts to build up in us. It starts to grow in us. And then before we know it, that anger really takes on a form of its own. So I don't know what the cutoff time is. Can I be mad at my wife for like 30 minutes but not 40 minutes, right? I mean, I don't know that it's that sort of thing, but I do think it is, look, we got to get over it and not let it just sit around and fester and harbor. And the amazing thing is, some of you will say, well, it's impossible. I mean, that is so hard to not be angry at people. I know. That's why Jesus is dealing with this. And that's why it was never a means to earn salvation. In fact, all it was a measure of God's holiness and what He desired us to do. And I think because men could not live up to that, they started to make categories for it. But look what he goes on and he says. So here's the application. So his theology is verses 21 and 22, and now the application is the second part of this text. So, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, what are you supposed to do? Look at verse 24. I don't want you to hear me just say it. I want you to see it. What are you supposed to do? It says you're supposed to leave it there. Leave it there and go. First, be reconciled to your brother. So I think what he's going is, if you're trying to worship and you know that there's some kind of anger, brokenness, division between you and someone else, you really won't be able to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I mean, you can try. There's multiple passages throughout the Old Testament that talk about things like, you know, your sin separates you from God. I mean, just listen to some of them. Psalm 66, I cried out with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue, but if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. You hear that saying? You could get up here and praise the Lord and sing all your songs and scripture read and give, but if in your heart there's things going on, there's anger and there's bitterness and there's undealt with issues with another person, the Lord is saying, I'm not pleased in your offering. I'm not pleased in your worship. Which is why one of the reasons I think Sunday morning is so stressful, and it's a spiritual battle. In homes. Because how can I get up here and preach if I'm frustrated in my own house at what they've been doing in the morning? Right? Any of y'all ever had that moment? Right? It's a battlefield for you. You don't even recognize it. You're just mad. Look, I never want you to think I'm the model of perfection. I don't think you do, but like, thank you. But there have been times I have literally had to talk to Allison before I got up here. Because of something I said or something I did, some attitude I had, right? Maybe the boys did something, I was frustrated, right? That's what he's getting at. I mean, because I don't want to get up here and be like, oh yeah, let's love Jesus, and all the while in my heart I'm harboring anger and bitterness at others. That's what he's saying. Look, if this is what's going on, stop. Jeremiah 7:9. Will you still murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, go after other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we're delivered, only to go on doing those abominations? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. What he's saying there is, you can't go on acting like everything's, you're doing all these things over here and being angry and mistreating people, and then come in here and be like, oh, look, I love Jesus. So what he says is, if you have some issue, you better deal with it. And notice the wording here. Verse 23 again. If you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you even. So it doesn't just have to be you, but even if you know that there's a brokenness, there's an issue between you and somebody else, he says, what? Leave your gift there and go. First, be reconciled to your brother. So seek that person out. If there's a public dispute, anger, bitterness, frustration between you and somebody else, what he's saying is you need to deal with that. Now, maybe you're just angry at somebody else and they don't even know it. Then what should you do? Well, you at least, I think, need to pray and seek forgiveness and ask the Lord to forgive you. And if he so prompts you, maybe you need to go talk to that person because maybe you've been mistreating them. Maybe your actions have been wronging them. But maybe that person doesn't even know that you've been harboring those feelings. At that moment, I would just say, do what the Holy Spirit calls you to do. But it at least starts with, Lord, my attitude and actions and thoughts towards that person has not been God-honoring. They have not been what you would desire me to have. And so, Lord, I'm asking for forgiveness. But if there is this public feud, then you need to deal with them. If there is anger and bitterness and strife with another, and it's known to that person, or you know that somebody has that against you, he says, be reconciled. And this especially when it's believers with believers. Look, you can go to your boss, and your boss can be mad at you and say, look, you know what? I just want to let you know, like, I've been frustrated at you, or I've been mad at something you did, and I just want to let you know I sought the Lord, and I asked him for forgiveness, and I want to ask you for forgiveness. Your boss may be like, whatever, right? Because he may not be a believer or something like that. But if it's another believer, hopefully that believer has some spiritual maturity, and what happens is there is reconciliation that happens, that the Lord's also been working in that person's life. I mean, oh my goodness, one of the greatest examples is this, is Jacob and Esau, right? Here he comes back for his brother, and he's so afraid his brother's going to be so mad and angry at him, and so he sends the children and the wives he doesn't really care about first, right? And so, but then when he sees them, they do what? They rejoice and they celebrate, and he says, look, God's been doing a work in my life too. The amazing thing is if you feel like the Lord is saying, hey, you know that person you've been harboring anger or frustration or some kind of strife, you need to go get reconciled. The amazing thing is God is sovereign, and he might also be working in that person's life. And just like Jacob and Esau, what a time of gospel reconciliation when that happens. So he says, as far as it's possible, you be reconciled. Now, if that person doesn't accept your reconciliation, I mean, the Bible says you've done what you can do. As far as it depends on you, live peaceably with everyone. Now, that person may not be spiritually discerning. They may not be spiritually wise. They may still be in a different place. They may not receive that. But as far as it is for you, you can say, my hands are clean. I'm following the Lord. I'm doing what he said. And then, after this has happened, after you've dealt with this anger in your heart that you have towards another, then come and offer your gift. Look, this is why it's hard. I mean, none of you probably think about murder, but some of you are angry at somebody else. Some of you in this room have some broken fellowship with another. You're here this morning, but there's bitterness, strife, anger, frustration, malice. All right? And what he's saying is, quit trying to worship me and get right. I mean, how do I think I can worship God while holding on to anger and bitterness in my heart? I mean, y'all think about this with me for a minute. If the God of the universe was willing to empty himself, take on the form of a servant, come live, experience all that he did, and die in order to bring reconciliation between God and me, who am I to say, yeah, but I'm not going to seek reconciliation with my brother? I'm not going to give that to the Lord. And just one last thing. Notice in the text the urgency. Again, verse 23. So if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, go ahead and worship and then next week set up an appointment and, you know, maybe go eat lunch and whatever. That's not what the text says, is it? There's a sense of urgency. Go now. Leave it and go now. Deal with it now. Meaning, deal with it today, not tomorrow, not next week. So right now, in your mind, there may be somebody in your mind that you know that there's been some frustration, bitterness. I would say at least it starts with right now saying, okay, Lord, I want to be free. I don't want to have anger in my heart. I don't want to be harboring this. And I want to release it now. But then maybe if it's something that it is known between you and that other individual, maybe it's something you say, hey, I need to call them, text them, I need to get with them today. It may be right now in these moments when they come in a few moments that maybe it's somebody in this room that you need to get up and you say, look, I just want to let you know. And see, here again is where, this is how we're afraid. This is how the evil one keeps us in bondage. Because what will happen is some of you will say, well, I don't want to go do that because they don't know. They don't know I've been mad at them. Or I don't want to do that because, oh my gosh, pastor's going to be looking at me and he's going to know. Or somebody else is going to be looking at me and they're going to know. Right? Okay. At donut time, take them aside. Whatever. But there's an urgency in the text. Today, now, get reconciled. Be reconciled. And say, Lord, allow this anger to be released from my life. Two questions and I'm done. One, how can we claim to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and say that we love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and yet be angry and have malice towards others? I think that's the question for those who are members and believers here. For others of you, the question is, have you ever been reconciled with God? That's where it starts. I mean, if you don't even know the forgiveness that comes through Christ, then how are you able to extend forgiveness to others? No, you need to turn to Christ. You need to realize that God has forgiven you of sin and of all your vile actions against him. And the way he's done that is by coming and dying on the cross and saying, if you believe in me, you will have life and forgiveness. And so for some of you, before you even try to deal with broken relationships with others, you need to deal with the broken relationship between you and your Creator. But I want you to hear this, church. It's not enough just to not murder people. Jesus is commanding us to not be angry in our heart, and if we are, to be reconciled for the glory of the gospel and for the good of our souls. So let's act in obedience to Jesus' word today. Let's pray. Father, I am asking in this tough word that you would show us if there are people in our lives and in our hearts that we have been bitter towards or angry towards. And Lord, how that anger is as if we are murdering them in the spirit of the law. That person is made in your image and in your likeness for your glory. And Lord, who are we to harbor bitterness against them? So Lord, it might be that we just need to come before you in your throne and lay down our anger before you. Maybe, Father, we need to go seek them out, either in this room or later today or this week. But, Father, we pray that as we gather together to worship next Sunday, we would be able to say, Lord, we've tried as best we can to live faithfully the meaning and application of your word this morning. And, Father, for others, if they've never been reconciled with you through Christ, that even now, Lord, that they would feel your spirit bringing conviction and opening their eyes to seeing the glory of Christ. And Lord, that even now they would turn to you and be saved. Lord, we pray all of these things for Jesus' glory.